Then the Bible says that God created man in his what? Image. See, God says, I'm going to give you the DNA of my essence. And if you look around, you'll see the very DNA of God all around you. We have the potential to create things. Animals don't necessarily have that. Man has it because we were created in his image. Now, I want you to see the potential in you and me.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship. Have you ever felt like you're stuck in a rut, working at a job that's not going anywhere, or worse yet, not working at all? You tell yourself, I'll never amount to anything. Well, today, Pastor Wayne is going to show us that within each of us lies tremendous potential. You see, we were created in the image of God. Now, here's Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, People of Potential.
I want to talk about being a people of potential and how it starts with us and how God created us. And if we will just simply cooperate with his design, just cooperate with it, I tell you, we can change the world. And you don't have to be some great inventor and entrepreneur, just who we are, if we'll obey and allow God to use the people of potential. Now, often we say, God can't use me because I'm just a worm. I'm an average guy, and you know, I'm nothing. I'm just a nobody. Then we remember that God uses nobodies in the Bible. A woman unknown through which he would change the world. Take a look at Joseph. Joseph had a prison record, yet he became the second most powerful man in the world. It was of Gideon that they said was a coward. Moses stuttered, and God used him. David was an adulterer. God used him. Peter, they called ambidextrous because he could put either foot in his mouth, and God used him. God can use everybody. And I tell you, everyone, I say this, everybody is a 10 somewhere. You just got to find out where that somewhere is and be willing to get involved. There's nobody that's useless. Everyone has the potential of God within them. We just have to see it and allow God to begin to use that. Everyone has a purpose. Even a guy named Manuel. Now, Manuel, this you want to hear this about the dumbest Portuguese joke you've ever heard? Are you ready for this? This is fabulous, actually. But Manuel went fishing in Alaska, and he was gone like 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and finally Mary, his wife, calls the state troopers up there and said, she said, and my husband, Manuel, went fishing up in Alaska, and I haven't heard from him for 3 weeks. Can you find him for me? He hasn't called me, emailed, nothing. So they said, okay, we'll do a search and rescue. Where was he fishing? So she told him, well, about 3 days later, they called her back and said, Mary. No, they weren't Portuguese. Mary. I get mixed up. Mary, we have for you bad news, good news, and great news. She said, what? Yes, bad news, good news, and great news. She said, well, where do I start? Well, where would you like us to start? I don't know, from the beginning, the bad news. They said, well, Mary, the bad news is we found your husband at the bottom of the bay. He's dead. Oh, she said, that's bad news, but we have good news for you. What? She said, well, when we pulled him up, there was a dozen king crabs attached to him, big buggers like that. We sold them, and we felt that you deserved some of the profit. So we're sending you a check. She said, oh, but there's great news. What's that? She said, what's the great news? We're going to pull him up again tomorrow. See, everybody is useful. See, you was wondering, wouldn't you, how are you going to bring that into the sermon? Everybody. Even a young lady named Mary. But let me tell you another young lady who didn't think much of what she had to offer. She was born in 1910 to a large family, Albania, and her name was, in that language, Anya. And at an early age, at about 18, she decided to give her life to missions, to reach people for the Lord. Her order sent her to India, to Calcutta, where she began to teach school for girls. But there was more, because right around that little town where the poorest of the poor people dying, dying on the streets. And she felt that even dying people needed to die with dignity. So she began to take them in, and she changed her name to Sister Teresa. And she began loving the poor in simple ways. That's all she had. She didn't have anything big. She couldn't do huge things. She just could do little things. In fact, one of the sayings she became known for was, "We don't do big things. We do little things for God, but we do little things with a big amount of love." That's what makes what we do beautiful. Later on, this simple woman would receive the Nobel Peace Prize for her efforts. And now today, in 123 countries, there are homes for the dying to help those who are the poorest of the poor. She came in silently and simply, and she left simply. In fact, her death was overshadowed by a much more prominent death, for in the same week just before, Princess Diana had died in a terrible car crash, and her news was all over every tabloid magazine and newspaper. And when Mother Teresa silently went to be with the Lord, no one knew very much about it. But that one simple lady who didn't have much changed the world, didn't she? She was less than 5 feet tall, and she wasn't some entrepreneur, inventor of any kind. She just loved people, and she said, "God, be born in me. All I offer to you is a vacancy," and God used her to change the world. It can happen right here. You know, I love our church because we have very influential and affluential people, CEOs, business people, but we also have people who feel comfortable here that don't have a home. In fact, just recently, an hour ago, a man who is a homeless guy from Ala Moana came and visited me here and said, "I decided to come to church." And we had talked in the past and shared Christ with him. And he said, "I just want to introduce you to my fiance." And I thought, oh, how cool. And I thought, isn't it neat that people from all strata of life feel comfortable here because of your love? And I want to say thank you because in this church, we have people that don't look like you, and they come and they have different problems, but everyone here is so loving and kind. You always exude the embrace of Christ, and I want to say thank you. This last week at water baptism, I want to tell you the story of one of our great saints. Her name is Carolina, a very unassuming and simple lady that has a huge heart for people that the society might term throwaway people. Sometimes you'll come to our water baptism, and if you haven't come, I encourage you to do so. But she will bring those that are mentally challenged or disabled, people that are broken in body or disabled in other ways, people that are homeless, and sometimes 6, 7, or 8 will come to be baptized. And this last week, we had 2 in wheelchairs that couldn't get into the water. We brought water up to them. We had a lady that couldn't speak. This last week, a man bent over that couldn't straighten up and baptized him. And I was talking to her later, and she said, "You know, Wayne, my prayer is one day at New Hope, when people like that will be baptized that have a crooked back, they'll come up straight and God will heal them." Wouldn't it be great if God just gave a wonderful gift of healing to this church and people going in crooked would come up straight and see God heal them? I said, "Oh, yes, let's pray for that." Well, she introduced me to a wonderful man. His name is Frank. And Frank, one of his arms didn't work too well from an accident. But he came and we baptized him. And she said to me, you need to know something about Frank. Frank lived for over 8 years under the bridge under Nimitz. That was his home for over 8 years. I said, 8 years he lived under a bridge? Uh-huh. And not only that, she said, he's kind of the leader of the bridge people. I said, "Bridge people have leaders?" She said, "Yes." And because of his love for Christ and being baptized, we can go back in there, reach more bridge people for Christ. I thought, this is really, you can make a movie out of this. And Frank came up and gave him a big hug, and he was at our Wednesday night service, and I thought, oh, Frank, inside of you is the potential to change your world. Inside of this lady, Carolina, is a potential, one life at a time. And in this church, as we embrace them, can you understand how much this state can be changed one life at a time? Because we're not trying to be some people. We're not just being who we are in the design of Christ. We can create things. I want you to know, by the way, as we talk about a people of potential, the DNA of God is in you. Now, God is a creator. He creates. In fact, the Bible says it in this way, that that God created the heavens and the earth. He spoke the worlds into existence. So that which you see was created out of that which you don't see. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3. God is a creator. But he creates this way. He spoke and there was light. He just spoke the stars and said, stand fast, and others rotate. He just speaks and it happens. Stars obey him. Planets obey him. He says, just go this fast. Woo, they go that fast. So much so is his the precision of their obedience to the creator that when he says, go this fast, woo, everything goes that fast. And astronomers today can actually predict the next eclipse in 2018 because mathematically they can figure the precision rotation of these planets in orbit. And it's so precise, they know when the next one will be. That's how precise the planets obey God. And he just speaks and it happens. Creation obeys. The Bible says he spoke and there was light. I mean, he just says light. Woo. He's like a dog. He speaks. Now, then the Bible says that God created man in his what? Image. Did you know that God gave you the same potential? Listen to this. God says, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and birds of the air and over the cattle of the earth. He says, and God created man in his own image, in the image of God he created him, male and female he created him. And he blessed them and said, go now, be fruitful and multiply. See, God says, I'm going to give you the DNA of my essence. Now go and do it. And if you look around, you'll see the very DNA of God all around you. Now, we don't create as fast as God does, but still, the DNA is in us. The thumbprint of God is in us. Because think about it this way. Look around. Everything you see in this building, except for the human body, was somehow created by somebody's mind and brilliance. I mean, they use natural resources like steel or rock by which we make concrete, but the combination of all of this, the technology of just my voice going through a microphone, being amplified over speakers, it happened. Someone created that in their mind, you understand? The LED lights or the incandescents, Thomas Alva Edison, that put in a filament in a vacuum tube, put electricity to it, and it burns. Everything here, whether it's a stage, what you got on your wrist, a watch, your cell phone, which is basically a computer in your pocket, everything that you see, the chairs, the cement, the carpet, it was put together in somebody's mind. Do you understand the DNA of God is in human beings? That part of that DNA is in humans, and no other specimen in the world has that. Because God says, let us make man in his image. So in actuality, inside of you and me, we have the potential to create things. We create all kinds of things. Look around, whether it's satellite systems or the shuttle that goes into space or cars that drive, motors that run, even the hybrid cars that are a hybrid of electricity and gasoline. It's like man figures this stuff out. What is it? It's the image of God in us. Animals don't necessarily have that. Man has it because we were created in his image. Now, I want you to see the potential in you and me. Take a look at someone like Steve Jobs or Bill Gates and how Steve Jobs, who recently passed away, how he's changed the way we live and communicate. One man right here. And you have Bill Gates, one man. What if we took some of the energy and the potential we have and put it towards advancing the kingdom, solving problems? You know, we could change the world. Well, people say, well, wait a minute. I'm not an entrepreneur or an inventor. Yeah, but you still have that DNA inside of you, that potential. Let's read this together. Go. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. And God said, be fruitful and, use it. Multiply it. Reproduce it. Don't keep it in you. Multiply it. So you know that image is in you. That ability is in you. But you say, gosh, Wayne, I don't know. Yeah, it's in you. I wonder what lies inside of you. I wonder what lies inside of this congregation. I wonder what lies inside of me that God would love to use. My goodness. Now you say, well, but I tell you, I am not a big inventor. I'm just a regular average person. Okay, where do we start? Let me tell you how God creates things so you can see what's inside of you, all right? So that you can cooperate with it. Whenever God creates, so if you want to ratchet back to the very beginning, something that all of us can do, because we're not competing with a Bill Gates or a Steve Jobs. I'm just, okay, what does God put in every single part of his creation? He puts the DNA to, here it is, to convert something of a lower state into a higher state. I mean, that he just puts that into every part of his creation. Say, really? Okay, now stay with me. This is really cool. That's just how it is. For example, plants. Plants are, it's a conversion machine. It converts something lower into something higher. Because of the photosynthesis process, you look at the plants along the highway or in our yard, you know what it does? It takes in carbon dioxide, and through the synthesis process and bringing, making it, it actually takes carbon dioxide, makes sugar out of it. And one of the byproducts is pure oxygen. That's what it gives back. Do you know that plants, God created plants to take something that will kill you, carbon dioxide, something that brings death, and instead it gives you life, pure oxygen that we all need. If you take a look at plants, it converts something deadly into something life-giving. Just, that's how it is. Take a look at his creation. What do we need so much of? Water. Not so much last night in the storm, but we need water. All right, to stay alive. But where's our biggest well of water? Right there, the Pacific Ocean. Yeah, but it's brine. It's 4 to 6% salt. We can't drink that. You drink ocean water, you die. Uh-huh. You can't drink it. Yeah, so what are we going to do? Well, you have to desalinate it, right? You got to remove the salt from it. Yeah, but desalination plants cost so much. Yeah, God does it all the time for free. Really? How? I'll tell you how he filters that out so that you and I can stay alive. He causes that to evaporate. And in the evaporation process, God's creation is designed in such a way that it removes or filters the brine or the salt, leaves that behind. And it takes millions of gallons away from the ocean. Where does he store that? Is there a place in Arizona or something? No. It's above our heads. Millions of gallons float around in what we call billowing what? Clouds, right. Now, only God can store water above our heads, and they just float around. But in it are billions of droplets of water. Then the clouds float around, and when it changes altitude, God's designed it to precipitate or change that vaporous state of water into liquid. That water then comes out, pure water now. It comes down, but it has to be enriched. So you know what it does? It goes down onto the mountains, goes through the rocks and the minerals of the dirt. It pulls minerals into it, and it's dirty, but now it's filtered back through the rocks, and you know what keeps the minerals that it took from the dirt and the ground, and it deposits it into millions and millions of gallons of an aquifer under the Ko'olau Mountains, enriched with minerals, pure water from the ocean. And then man, either through an artesian well or pumps it out, you get great water, some of the best water in the world here. How does that happen? God just converts it for us. What would have brought death now brings life. You take a look at how God creates animals. They're all converters. They convert something lower into something higher. Well, like what? Like, think about cows. Cows will go and put their head down and eat grass. Now, they don't eat just grass. They eat the worms that are on the grass, the fleas, the ticks, the bugs, everything. And they chew it. Now, cows are a ruminant. They have four stomachs. So they chew, this stuff goes into the first stomach, builds up gas, and so they just, they erp it back up. And they mix it with the erpy stuff, and then they swallow it back. They keep eating some more bugs and worms mixed with grass and dirt and rocks, whatever. They swallow it, and then they burp it back up. They mix it with the burp stuff, and they put it back in. And then they rip it up, mix again the worms and all the bugs and everything. They mix it. It's a horrible mess back into their stomach. Finally, it goes through their stomach and goes into their body and produces milk, the milk that you drank this morning. But when you drink milk, you're not worried too much about it because somewhere in the process, all of the bacteria, all the toxicity, all of that was filtered out, and you eat a cow's meat or drink a cow's milk, but somewhere along the line, God creates his creation to convert that which could be deathly and deadly into something that's life-giving and healthy. You understand that? Everything. Take a look at an orange tree, just another plant, tree. I mean, he does that with everything. He converts something from a lower state to a higher state. Take a look at an orange tree. Yesterday, I ate an orange. I peeled the rind off, and I ate that orange, just bit into it. Oh, man, it just was so juicy. It just came all over my clothes. Not really. I'm not that sloppy. But I put a wedge in my mouth, and it burst with flavor, and the juices of it was just wonderfully delicious. Now, how did it get there into this holding cup? Take a look at that tree. Rain comes down, splatters on the ground. It gets muddy. People walk on it. It's filled with dirt, probably even some cows that were around there left cow stuff. And it mixed all in and padded in. Now, that filthy, dirty, bacteria-laden, toxic, maybe even septic water goes into the roots. Now, that orange tree is sucking that water up. Sucking that water. Now, filthy, filthy, septic water. But somewhere in that process, you know what it does? It actually filters out the bacteria, all the viruses, all anything that's bad, and it sucks it right up, and then it puts it into these cups for you and me, even puts in flavoring. Malolo orange, Malolo syrup. Puts it in there, and then puts in vitamin C and nutrients. So you come and take an orange, you peel it, you can eat it without even having to check whether there's any bacteria in it. You know it has no bacteria. How in the world did that happen? Because God, when he creates his creation to be conversion machines, because that's who he is. That's his thumbprint. Now, man can mess that up, but do you understand the DNA of God? And he has put that in you as well. So you say, well, where do we start? I tell you where we start. We start with this, understanding that even though we're not inventors or entrepreneurs, every single one of us has the potential to convert something from a lower state into a higher. Let's start there. If you just start here, and I'm going to challenge you, encourage you to do this. If we just start there, that's what we can do. We can change the world. Mother Teresa saw the poorest of the poor. She said, I can give them dignity. Carolina sees what society would see as throwaway people. She says, I can help them get to baptism, talk to them about Christ. Just converting something from a lower to a higher. Every single one of us are going to meet intersections in our life where there's going to be problems and struggles. What will you do with them? Can we just convert it from a lower state to a higher, or are we taking it from a higher to a lower? You see, one of the designs of the DNA of God is, will you cooperate and will you take things into a higher state? If we can all start there, you'll be amazed what God can do. Now, you got to hear something. There's only one species of his creation that has a choice to say no to God and his design. When God speaks to the planets and says, you go 66,000 miles an hour, whoop, and it stays at that gate for thousands of years, doesn't change. He spoke and the stars stood fast. He spoke and said to the oceans, you shall only come up this far. He spoke light and everything obeys God. Plants convert something from a lower to a higher. Boom, they do that all the way along. There's only one species that when God says, convert from a lower to a higher, they can say, no. Only one species of his creation can choose to reject the design of the Creator in them and reject their potential. And that species is us.
You've just heard part one of a message entitled People of Potential by Dr. Wayne Cordero.
Hi, this is Wayne Cordero. There's a brand new church starting up, New Hope West, right on our beautiful Bible College campus in Eugene, Oregon. It's time for the Word of God to live in each of us in a way that'll change our lives and the worlds in which we live. So join us at New Hope West on our Bible College campus, 2155 Bailey Hill Road in Eugene, Oregon. Two services, 9 and 11 a.m. We'll see you there.
Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves. That place is New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.